Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we're going to be talking about the heart-mind connection. So please feel free to participate or just to listen. And so let me say hello to my colleague, Kat Edwards. Kat, how are you tonight?
Hi, I still have a bit of a croaky voice, but I'm here and I'm happy to be here.
Oh, happy to have you. I'm hoping we're actually broadcasting. I realized that I hadn't clicked us over to the studio yet, and there's no monitor showing that we're talking. I mean, there isn't one present, period. So I trust that we're over in the studio at this point. So, folks, bear with me for a minute. I'm just gathering my thoughts here. So, Kat, what would you like to say about the heart-mind connection?
Before we start that, it's all right if I just speak freely for a moment, please.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to acknowledge all the people who are suffering in Australia on the eastern seaboard at the moment. Australia is burning.
Oh.
There are bushfires up and down the New South Wales and Queensland coast.
Oh, my. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I'm sitting on the foreshore of Raby Bay, which is near where I live, and the visibility from the smoke is extremely poor. Everywhere is covered in smoke from the bushfires. There's people I know and love who've lost homes. Countless animals have died. We've so far have had 3 people pass away because of the fires. And it just doesn't seem to be letting up. There's something like 42 fires burning in Queensland.
Oh, my.
Somebody on Facebook described it as a monster going past her house. I'm so sorry it's happening. I don't know why. Usually the bushfire brigade do burn offs in winter. I trust that they had been, and I'm not going to be a person who points fingers about it. There's quite a bit of that going on at the moment on social media. I'm not educated enough to know in the subject as far as the land management goes to know why we are having such a catastrophic event, but it's not the only fires that have happened this season. We've actually been going through quite a few fires, but this is turning into a nightmare. More than a nightmare. I just want to acknowledge it and tell everybody that I appreciate the bush firefighters that are out there at the moment. We need to stand by our mates. And it's one of the things about Australia that I love is the mateship and standing up for each other. We may have never met each other before, but in a time of crisis, we come together and we stand together as mates. I just want to acknowledge that and just publicly say that I care and many people who are not directly affected care.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about it.
I know that California went through some bushfires recently as well.
Yes.
So we all know the pain of this kind of natural disaster. And I want to acknowledge the people who've suffered and lost homes over in California as well recently. So back to the heart-mind connection. And well, you know, in this circumstance, sitting here surrounded by smoke from the bushfires, my heart hurts.
Mm-hmm.
My heart hurts for my Mother Earth. My heart hurts for Gaia Sophia and all her beautiful creatures who have manifested on this part of the planet, the marsupials, incredibly unique little creatures, soft, furry, fluffy, funny-looking, beautiful little creatures with pockets in their bellies so their babies can grow, suffering because their homes are burned down. My heart hurts because of the human beings who've worked so hard and put so much time and money and effort into their beautiful homes to live in this country, and their homes have gone. And that is an interesting thing, that your heart would hurt. We're talking about heart-mind connection, that why would your heart hurt? Why not your elbow? Why not your eyeball? Why your heart? And it's because it's the feeling center of the body. And the feeling center has an intelligence of its own. I watched a show a while back by Greg Braden, and if you're into understanding about the universe and you're into metaphysics and you're into having an open mind, then if you've not heard Greg Braden, get into his teachings. He's somebody who is switched on, and he's a scientist, and he's on the pulse with the latest understanding in science and spirituality and the coalition of the two subjects. He first taught me about the scientific background to the heart. And through him I learned that there are 40,000 neurons in the heart. And for those of you who don't know what a neuron is, it's a brain cell. And so they're physically, medically proven, scientifically proven 40,000 brain cells in your heart. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot when we know there's over a billion in the brain. However, it's not necessarily quantity that we're looking for here, it's quality. And those quality 40,000 neurons are what give you the feeling center so that you can feel your way through life as much as you can think your way through life. And life is about feeling as much as it is about thinking. And so I can sit here in amidst all this smoke haze and feel empathy for my fellow humans and animals on this planet, that while we go through this great crisis in this country, I feel it in my heart. I don't feel it in my knee, because my knee doesn't have the 40,000 brain cells. My heart does. And when my heart communicates to my brain, it goes up through the vagus nerve, up into the brain. And from my understanding, generally, if I've got a healthy brain, that communication would go to the frontal lobe, into the prefrontal cortex, where my capacity for compassion and empathy lays. So you can also have, with the heart-brain connection, heart feeling, and then through the vagus nerve it goes up into the pineal gland and the pituitary gland, where you've got a lot of your, you know, in the hippocampus region, you've got a lot of your hormonal excretion going off, but you've also got in there, in the pineal gland in particular, the third eye, and the intuitive aspects of who you are. So the feeling center of your body, the heart, can shoot a message up to the third eye, into the pineal gland, which can then give you a forward-thinking experience. So have you ever done something like put a cup on the draining board and then had a flash in your mind that in the future, seconds in the future, that cup is going to roll off and smash? That is your heart, the feeling center, having a little skip. Oh, there's going to be something happen here. It feels it. And the brain registers it, and you have a forward-thinking thought through the pineal gland, an intuitive thought. And maybe you catch it before it happens, or it becomes a reality and it smashes and you go, oh, I actually saw that happening before it happened. So, example out of my own life that happened recently. Yeah, so the heart-brain connection, a very, very interesting connection to explore. What do you think about it, David?
Well, I'm learning a lot of stuff from you, Kat, to tell you the truth. I was thinking along the lines of something that was written in my Alcoholics Anonymous big book many, many years ago when I was in rehab. There was a fellow that inscribed it and said, think with your heart. And that struck me as an epiphany. I'd never considered that notion, and I ended up titling an unpublished book with that same phrase, think with your heart. To me, the heart is what I'm all about at a human level. As far as the brain goes, that protects me, and that can protect my heart too when I use it. I've experienced problems with sadness and depression, and that has caused a problem with my brain where I've become mentally ill. And so that is, that's another connection for me. I think that, I think too much. I find that my brain is something that can get me into trouble sometimes. I tend to think things through too much. I obsess, and I don't allow myself to just be a lot of the time. I'm getting a lot better at it, but it's a real challenge, and I think it is for a lot of people. They get caught up in their brains and do not allow themselves the full expression of their hearts, of their human experience. And the brain certainly comes into play in an important way. The intuitive notion that you talked about earlier, Kat, I was thinking of an example in my life recently where my intuition was telling me one thing and my heart was telling me something else. So it's important to listen to both. And intuition, I think, is a really vital defense mechanism that we need to pay attention to. And sometimes that just needs to override the heart. In my particular situation, I didn't listen to my intuition. I didn't listen to my gut, and I allowed myself to feel sorry for an individual who was a user, and that got me into a lot of trouble. And so that's an example of where I think the brain can be a real defense mechanism. I don't know if I'm making any sense, Kat.
Yeah, I'd like to explore that because that's that happens to a lot of people who have a kind heart. You can get drawn in by people who know it, who know that you've got a kind heart, and they'll use you for it. And that's happened to me. And when it happened to me to a point that I find myself being extremely betrayed, I realized that I had the people who had betrayed me had used me, but they not only used me, they had begun to totally disrespect me and treat me like I was pathetic because of my kindness to them. And so there is a situation where you need to feel into it more before you take action and say, will this be appreciated? Because appreciation is actually higher than gratitude in the scale of working with the universe in manifestation. And so if they appreciate it, it's going to be taken more seriously and being given more love. Gratitude will be there. You need to be grateful for things, but when you appreciate, there's a deeper sense of value for you. And when people use you, you know, you get that lesson learned and you harden up a bit. And if you don't, you will the next time. And so then that goes into the memory banks. And so then when it comes time to help another person, you again say to yourself, will this person appreciate my action? Will this be appreciated? Or will this be thrown away? And will I be used and abused, or will I be thanked and loved? And so for a long time, I held back from helping people because I had been spat out and betrayed and hurt because I'd been helping people. And I decided that if I was going to help people, I'd do it on a bigger scale. So I regrouped and worked on that. But these days, if somebody comes along and needs my help, I tend to wait for the universe to put that person in my path so it's obvious that they need my help, rather than seek people out to help, because that way I know the person who's coming in my path who needs my help will appreciate me. And the thing that I do is I feel into it, and if it feels good, if it feels right, I then go into my brain and I say, right, consequences. Tell me the consequences of going forward with this before I take the action. Now, that might be a flashing series of thoughts that give me those consequences, like a several slides. Slide consequences, or it might be a bit, you know, I might need to go take an hour or two, but I'm going to go and feel into it and I'm going to think about the consequences, because my brain is there filled with all of this knowledge from the past, and in there are bad experiences that I've learned from, and I'm going to have my brain match up the current situation to the bad experiences and see if I'm going to end up with a similar consequence or not. And if I'm not and it feels good, then I'm going to go forward. And I did this earlier this year. I had a friend who was a friendly acquaintance, a lovely lass, pregnant, and was in a very difficult pregnancy. And I had a cot and a change table left over from having my two little ones, and she needed that. when I arrived, I didn't know that this person had been going through 3 years of extreme depression. She had other children and left a domestic violence situation and moved into emergency housing and stayed there, but had sort of let everything build up around her. Hadn't really done a lot of cleaning, so the place needed to be cleaned. I needed to clean my way through the house to get the cot into place. So when I walked in, exactly what you were talking about, David, I had to feel it. And I had to feel whether or not my help would be appreciated. And I quickly had the flashes of consequences in my mind and quickly had the intuition, because I've gotten to know myself well enough. And this is one of the keys. If you are not in connection with yourself, if you do not know yourself, you are going to continuously have bad experiences in your life. Get to know yourself. Start loving who you are, because you're going to be able to listen to yourself more and you're going to be able to navigate situations better. I decided to stay. I said to her, look, I don't give a shit what's been going on in your life, how you've got here. I can see you're a good person. I will help you. She couldn't move much. The pregnancy was an extreme pregnancy. If she did move and do the cleaning, she could have gone into spontaneous labor, and it was too early in the pregnancy for that. So I made her sit down, and I cleaned my way through that house. I started about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I finished about 11 o'clock that night. Now, interestingly, in that experience, I got up in the morning earlier. We're going back in time. Earlier in the day, I cut and polished the change table and the cot, because it was all wood. It's beautiful, dark stained wood. I cleaned it all beautifully, and then I got overcome with tiredness and I went and had a nap. Then I got up and I went out and I took it over to her. My inner being prepared my body for the work ahead. So my heart already knew, and because I was in a state of knowing who I am, I was in a state of allowing and path of least resistance. And her inner being had been calling out for help. Her inner being had been saying, I can't do this. I've got to bring a baby into this house. This house needs an overhaul. And the father of her baby had had a big fight with her because of the state of the house. And he wasn't going to live with her while it was like that. So things were a mess for her in many ways. So my inner being prepared my body for the work ahead. Her inner being had been calling out for somebody who would not judge, who would only care, to come and help. It was a good marriage. I turned up, I cleaned my way through her house, I cleaned up her daughter's bedroom, I cleaned up her bedroom, I set up the cot. I'd missed a part of it, and I had to go back. The next day, my partner and I went back there. We stopped by a shop. We spent about $100. We bought fans. We bought other cleaning gear for her because the house was quite hot. And we turned up again. We set all of this up. My partner set up the cot properly. And then we organized people to come and do a big working bee on that place while she was in hospital. She was in and out of hospital. So her inner being manifested. And interestingly enough, when I pulled her bed out to clean under her bed, a card, an angel card, was on the floor under her bed. And the word on the card was help. All of this comes from the heart. It comes from that feeling center of herself being in a state where she actually wanted to help others in her life and had an altruistic outlook, wants to create a business where she feeds the homeless and generates that by selling goods to people who can afford to buy them, and then the profits go into feeding the homeless. So this was a person who would appreciate the help that I gave her and that others would give her and then pass that on. So, and she has. She's shown much appreciation. And I've seen her posts on Facebook. I think that the help that I started with her and that others continued until she had the baby and she could get more regular help through other means, her life has completely changed. She looks happy, healthy, she's lost weight. Her children seem a lot happier. Life seems from the outlook to be quite good, and that person is going to have the trajectory of manifesting her dreams. Because really, when we're looking at working with the heart, we're plugged into the universe, we're plugged into the source of all things. And so if you look at that scenario, you're looking at me helping another human being, but I'm also expressing myself as source, as the great spirit working through me to assist itself as her. She is also the great spirit. So the great spirit assists itself to become happier, to become more in alignment, and to become greater at being itself. So I don't know if I've gone on a bit of a rant.
No, I love it. I love that example.
Yeah, it's a living example of the way that working and living through the heart and the mind can manifest a positive outcome. Yeah.
Well, ultimately, we're all one great spirit, and I love the metaphors that you expressed in that example, and just the whole notion of passing it on. Obviously, your heart was drawn to this woman, and your inner knowing was that she was somebody that was deserving, and through the appreciation that she expressed, you continued to help her out, and I think that's wonderful. I was thinking of some instances in my life where I have been instrumental in helping other folks and had positive outcomes. They were people that did pass it on. There are two people that I helped save their homes. They were in danger of foreclosure. And I made an agreement with them that they would repay me when they were able. And so that happened with one person, and I trust it will happen with the other. But I think that whenever a person does something like that, you have to be prepared for the possibility that they may not be able to follow through for whatever reason. And to loan money to somebody is possibly going to turn into a gift. And the question is, who is the gift for? And to me, the gift is for myself when I can help somebody else out. Whether or not they're able to repay me, I still have a tremendous sense of well-being. And in the instance of, in both of these instances, I was so pleased that these two individuals' homes were able to be saved from foreclosure. In my professional life as a social worker, I had to deal with the heart-mind connection quite a bit. And I had to learn to discern who were the users and who were the people who truly wanted my help and were willing to accept it and were willing to put in the effort to get better themselves or to better their lives. excuse me. It's interesting because I have had two instances of being used in my personal life, and that's because I was not paying attention to some of the warning signs or some of the possible consequences that you talked about, Kat. I was not fully in touch with my brain, and as I mentioned in the earlier instance, my intuition was telling me one thing, and my heart was drawn in by this person that turned out to be a user. And so I learned a valuable lesson from that, and since then, I have not had to repeat the lesson. It was only a year and a half ago, but it was a very painful one. And I trust that I will not fall prey to something like that again. I think that I've developed enough personal insight into what my intentions are and what I might bring to the table in a situation like that, be more protective of myself. And I think that what you were saying about self-love is so important. We need to value ourselves. We need to protect our hearts. We need to use our minds. And it is a combination of all of those things that helps us on life's journey. We do have a caller. They just called in, so I'm not going to ask them to participate unless they choose to, but I'd like to see who they are and let them know that we are with them. Hi, Skype caller. What is your first name, please? Well, you're free to listen. We appreciate you calling in tonight. And, whoops, wait a minute, here we go. Hi, can you hear me, Skype caller?
Yes. Can you
hear me? Hi, what's your first name? Kimmy?
Karen.
Hi, Karen. Yeah, thank you for joining us tonight, Karen. We're talking about the heart-mind connection, and you're certainly welcome to participate in the discussion. Is there anything you'd like to say now, or would you like me to come back to you later?
I was just also wondering, are you doing healings, or is this more of a general discussion?
Well, it's more of a general healing, meaning that we discuss topics that are important to people that they may draw some strength and hope from the discussions that the topics bring to the show. But we don't do healings. Specifically, we don't do healings, if you follow what I'm saying.
Right. Not specific healings and not even healings for, like, the general audience. It's more of just of a discussion.
It's a discussion, yes. Yeah. I mean, Yeah. But thank you for calling in. Is there anything you'd like to say about the heart and mind?
No, I think I need to learn more.
Okay. Well, thank you.
It's the advice for us to live more in the heart as opposed to the mind as we have been doing in this new world.
Yeah.
It is a challenge. Live from the heart, and I'm working on it, but my mind is very strong.
I hear you. Yeah. You might want to listen to the podcast.
And
go ahead.
Gifts and don't know a lot of times, is it my overactive mind or am I actually getting something? So, yes.
Mm.
Anyway, I'm all this stuff.
Well, Karen, thank you for calling in. You might want to listen to the podcast because we have had quite a bit of discussion so far. But feel free to continue to listen, and we appreciate your calling in tonight.
Okay. I think maybe I should wait for the and listen to the whole podcast from the beginning.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay.
Yeah.
Again, thank you
so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Oh, you're welcome. Where are you located, Karen?
New York.
Ah, okay. Well,
yeah.
I'm upstate New York.
Oh.
And Kat is from Australia, and she is the other part of the panel here. And I'm going to see if Kat has anything else that she'd like to share, and then we'll probably go into a meditation sometime after that.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that Karen said that she finds it hard to listen to her heart and live her life through her heart that she wants to, but her mind is very strong. And that one of the things that's going on for a lot of people there is that we're taught to disregard our heart. We're taught to be in only logic and reason. And that way of thinking has had its place. It's important, you know. We wouldn't have had the Age of Enlightenment, the Renaissance, the coming of science without logic and reason. It's very important to have critical thinking. Anyone who's been educated in a tertiary system will have been taught critical thinking. And if you haven't been taught critical thinking, I strongly advise you to learn about it, anyone who's listening, because it is a very good asset to have in your toolkit of ways of thinking. Having said that, we need balance. You know, we're not just robotic, logic, reason, thinking people. The humanity within us is intuitive and creative. It is not just all masculine. There is the feminine orientation in the way that we think as well. And if we're really going to go into it, thinking is a whole body experience, because in the gut there's 100,000 neurons. And you know, the scientists are just starting to really understand the fact that there are brain cells in the gut and the heart, and not just in the brain. And yogis have known it for a long time. And you start looking at the deeper spiritual traditions that have been working with the body and have been incorporating connection with body and earth in the way that they view and act and live their spiritual understanding, you start to see that there's been a heart, mind, gut knowing for a long time. We need to go back to the Indo-European pagan education. Long before the Abrahamic way came upon us, back in the ancient times when things were a little bit simpler, we need to learn from the non-dogmatic, simplified version of life that the pagan people had. And I'm talking indigenous people. I'm talking people who are in complete connection with the planet. I'm not talking about people who are in disconnection. Because the more you lean into religion, the more you go into disconnection. The fear of loving the planet and worshipping the planet that comes with the Abrahamic ways puts people into disconnection. And as a result, you go into disconnection with your body. And if you're in disconnection with your body, you're not in a state of hearing what your body has to say. Because your body is a big analog radio. And that analog radio, it has a receiver, and that's your spinal cord, your central nervous system, full of electricity. And you have an electron in every single atom. You're full of electricity, and you're full of brain cells. You're full of ways of thinking. We have in the common vernacular, I had a gut feeling. That's because the animal instinct within you, those 100,000 neurons in your gut, fired off. And that instinctual knowledge of survival kicked in, and if you acted on it, you survived, or you avoided catastrophe, or you avoided a minor disaster or a major one. And when you have a heart feeling, you have a sense of joy, goodness, serenity, or you have a sense of foreboding, warning, reason to stop. And one of my friends will come to me when she's not sure about something, and she'll say, can you tell me what your heart says? And I'll go within, I'll close my eyes, and I'll go and focus on my heart. And I'll either get a contracting feeling or an expanding feeling. And if I get a contracting feeling, I feel the warning in my heart. If I get an expanding feeling, I feel the joy in my heart. So it's like my heart breathes in and breathes out. And so then if I get the warning, if I get the contracting feeling, I then let that feeling float up into my brain, and I'll use my brain for the knowledge center. So I have my heart as the feeling center, I have my gut as the instinctual center for survival, and I'll ask my brain to give me the consequences or the foresight that I need. So I'm either going to look at the past and find out a likely event that may occur based on the current events that I'm being asked about, or I'm going to ask my brain for a likely event that may occur based on the consequences of what's in the current state, but in the future. So we all have foresight to look to the future and likely events. When you have somebody say that they're psychic, what they are experiencing is an understanding of a highly probable event that may occur. So this all happens in the brain, and the brain will allow you to see what has happened in the past and therefore is a highly likely event to occur in the future, or what is going to happen in the future based on what's happening now as a highly probable event. Because the jigsaw puzzle has been laid before you, and this is what's going to fall into place. So when you are in a state of connection, you are in a state of hearing, seeing, and understanding what's going to occur. So far, for my friend, I've never been wrong. And she said that. I have not said that because she's playing out her life. I'm not playing that out. But every time I've said to her, I have a warning in my heart about this, that has been that warning has played out. And because she's told me she's not listened to my advice. and now she's starting to listen. So the fact is, I'm not dissing religion because it has its place in the soul's growth. But what I am saying is, think very carefully about being in connection with your planet and being in connection with your body and then being in connection with your inner being, and realize that some things that you've been taught are about disconnection. Science teaches you to have a disconnection with your heart because it doesn't see it as logic and reason based. And a lot of religions teach you to have a disconnection with the planet and your body because it's not in alignment with an exoteric way of thinking. But if you want to have a true experience of heaven on earth, you must be in alignment with your body, in complete connection with your body, and in complete connection with your planet. So you need to challenge some of the ideas that are coming forward to you and really decide whether or not they are working for you. Because a lot of these ideas that are put before you are put there so that you can be controlled and not so that you can be in control. A lot of people feel anxiety and they don't know where it's coming from, but that if they were to explore the beliefs that have been put upon them, last week we talked about beliefs, and they were to explore whether or not those beliefs were actually in alignment with their inner being and with the body that they occupy and the planet in which they live, they would realize that they are not. And they could discard them and then take what does feel good from what they've been taught and leave the rest behind. So really that heart connection is the gateway to the universe, and it's the gateway to a happy, peaceful, heaven-like life that you deserve, that I deserve, everybody deserves. And a final thing I want to just say, David, is that we are often taught in spiritual traditions, religion, and in spiritual teachings from the past, the old school way, is to try and kill desire. No, you say no to desire. You cannot have desire. Desire is bad. Well, if you do that, your heart actually desires things. And if you say no to desire, you are then desiring no desire. It's fruitless. There's no point in turning around and saying, I do not want desire, because then you desire no desire. You're still in desire. What you need to say is, the thing that I desire is the thing that brings me the most joy and is in alignment with my life's purpose. So say, for example, you desired a highly nutritious meal. What is wrong with that? Your inner being says, yes. A highly nutritious meal would be wonderful for me. I think I would like to manifest that. So you sit in joy in your heart. I'm manifesting a highly nutritious meal. I'm thinking, using my heart-brain connection, to think about the beautiful flavors of this highly nutritious meal. It's going to be a delicious meal. It's going to be a meal that satisfies me. I'm going to no longer feel hunger after the meal, but my body is going to feel nourished and healed from the inside out because of this meal, and I'm going to love it. I'm going to thank the plants and the animals for their sacrifice so that I may have this meal. I'm going to thank the great mystery, the many hands that brought me the food that I now eat. And even though I'm not in the state currently, in the now, eating the meal, I can be in the desire for the meal, and I can fantasize about the meal, and I can manifest that meal through my heart and my mind. And so, therefore, very quickly, a highly nutritious meal is put before me. So the heart-mind connection will bring you closer to your inner being, closer to what you want to manifest in your life, as long as what you're manifesting brings you joy and there's no resistance in it, your deepest heart will bring that desire to you. Work with your heart. Be in feeling. Feel your way through life. Use your logic and your reason to help you to navigate your life. Bring the balance. Listen to your gut and let your instincts teach you how to survive, because you're an animal as well, human animal. And plug in to your planet and let her bring you, all she has. She's full of abundance. She's an amazing, beautiful planet. Everything that you need is here. I think I've ranted on a bit too much, though.
You're fine. You're fine. I wanted to comment on a few things you were saying. Excuse me. I think it's really important to take what you need or take what you want and leave the rest behind. We're fed so much stuff that is not necessarily nourishing to our souls. And ultimately, that is the part of ourselves that we need to nourish the most. And to me, that kind of nourishment comes from the heart. And I loved what you were saying about desires, because desires do come from the heart. And I think that the important thing about them is that it's a desire that will be of benefit to yourself and others. We sometimes get caught up in desires that are not healthy for us or for others, and that's where our mind needs to come into play and sort through consequences, sort through repercussions, sort through what is good or what's not so good. And I believe we need to take everything with a few grains of salt, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. And we need to use our minds to discern what will ultimately feed ourselves. You know, metaphorically, you talked about the meal, but life is a banquet. And, you know, as I said in Cabaret, life is a banquet. And I don't remember how the rest of that goes, but I think it's a great philosophy. And we are left with just a few moments. Kat, we didn't discuss who would do the meditation tonight. Do you want to do it, or do you want me to do it?
Oh, you can do it if you like.
Okay. Okay, take a moment and close your eyes if you're comfortable with that. If not, fix your sight on a spot on the wall or something that makes you feel good inside. And take a few deep cleansing breaths. Breathe in to the count of four. One, two, three, four. Hold, exhale to the count of four. One, two, three, four. Release and repeat. And now I'd like you focus on whatever desire comes to you tonight, whatever it is in your life that you wish to nourish. Is it a relationship with yourself, with another person, with the planet, with the people in your lives. And continue to follow the path to that desire. And consider what it is that you can do to fulfill that desire. Allow it to slowly blossom in your heart and in your mind center. Realize that you have the power to manifest whatever the desire is, whether it's a relationship, a job, a new home, whatever it is that you've envisioned, it's yours for the asking. The universe is waiting. Anything is possible. And so release that desire. Let it float away. Let it go. There's no need to hold on to it any longer. The universe is listening and responding. And so allow yourself to come back to the present moment, to realize that all is well in your world and within you, that all is intended for your good, including whatever desires you have in your heart. And so, when you're ready, open your eyes. And continue to breathe and relax and know that all is well. And if anybody listening to this podcast has any suggestions for future discussions, feel free to email me at dcowder, that's D. C-O-W-D-E-R at twcny.rr.com. I know it's a tricky email, but if you didn't catch it first time, listen to the podcast at the 59-minute mark. Good night, everybody. Thank you for calling in, Karen.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Glad I did.